know, when we come to some place, we should get to know each other, not just giving the class like an official ceremony, and then everybody goes away and that's finished. But we should actually be knowing each other and coming together, because eventually we meet some other place. Incidentally, in this temple, I don't know many people, but then I do know the Vivekananda Prabhu. And incidentally, it's not here. I know also one other devotee who was in New Jersey some time back, 2 years ago or so. But I'm actually very fresh here in the Jewel Temple. And of course, I'm fresh in India. I'm fresh in everywhere. So my name is Vasudev, Bhakti Vasudev Swami. I'm a disciple of His Holiness, late Bhakti Theta Swami. I took a Brahmin initiation in 1986 in Nigeria. And I took to the Earth Science Order of Life 26th of February 2009. My science guru is His Holiness Srila Japatika Swami Maharaj. So I came into India on the 5th of November last year to do some preaching. I was invited by some professors to come to present papers at academic conferences. So I was in Mayapur, November, where I participated in some conferences that were held in Mayapur. That is in one of December is the United Religions Initiative. And then after that, I went on to Lucknow in December to present a talk at the 9th summit of the Garden of the Chief Justice of the World. All justices of the world, they met in Lucknow in December. And I was invited to present a talk from the Vaishnava perspective in terms of peace. They were all looking for peace in the world. And so they also wanted to know from the Hare Krishna point, what is it that could actually bring about planetary consciousness. They use different names just to confuse the general mass of people, but they were actually looking for peace. They call it planetary consciousness. In scholarship, people do the things so that nobody else understands what they are saying. But it's a simple thing. They could say world peace, but they call different names so that the common people will not know what they are saying. This is part of the cheating that is going on in the academics. So after the Lucknow conference, I went on to Calcutta in January 6 to 9. I was in Calcutta for another conference. This was a philosophy and religion conference. The theme of that conference was self-identity and culture, East meets West. And after that conference, I went to South India for another conference. That was in February 9 to 12. I was at the University of Pondicherry to present a Vaishnava perspective to organizational leadership, integrating spirituality and organizational leadership. And so that rounded up my programs in India. Actually, I'm on my way out now again to go into the battlefield. We are supposed to be soldiers for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for a soldier, you have to always watch yourself. Are you getting depleted of ammunition? Or you are getting depleted of physiological strength in terms of nourishment from what you have been eating? And if you find that you are getting depleted of nourishment or from ammunition, you have to run back to get yourself reinforced. So before I go out into the field again, I'm feeling depleted, so I'm coming to the different temples, to the theaters, to be able to get some nourishment, from reinforcement from the devotees. So I've also come to this famous temple in the Three Worlds, the Radha Rastihari Temple, here, right here in Jewel. So I come to seek all of your blessings, that again, I'm your son, I'm your brother, I'm your uncle, I'm your nephew. So I'm going out again to the battlefield, but I need all of your blessings. In fact, if the family members pray for the soldiers, it's very important, because then also Krishna hears their cries. And we'll be leaving today, tonight, And then I felt that I should come to take the Association of the Devotees here. I think I've just been officially to lead the discussion of the Srimad Bhagavatam this morning. It's not a lecture per se, because in our system, any devotee who has been in a temple for 6 months can give very perfect Bhagavatam class, can give very perfect Srimad Bhagavad Gita class. So it doesn't mean that the person who is sitting on the asan, he has become omniscient. He knows everything, and he has become Krishna, who just speaks the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. We are involved in the process of sharing, because we care for each other, and this is part of the legacy that Prabhupada has left behind, that every morning we come together to be able to share about Krishna consciousness, philosophy, the tenets of Krishna consciousness, different constructs, different concepts in the Vaishnava tradition. In this way, we get ourselves nourished. This is food for the soul. The Bhagavatam itself is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. And for every fruit, for every tree, the tree is not very useful except it has some ripened fruit. If the tree does not have ripened fruit, even if it's a mango that produces very big fruit, if it is not in season, you don't see people clutter around the mango tree. But if during the season when it bears big, big fruit and the fruits are getting ripe, oh, everybody who passes by, even someone who is driving a limousine passing by, he'll be watching whether some fruit will fall down. If a fruit falls down, immediately he'll stop and then try to pick it up. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. And so all of us have come here this morning to be able to relish that fruit. And this chapter basically is dealing with the activities of Prithu Maharaj. You have been reading, hearing about Prithu Maharaj all this while. And basically what I intend to do is the application of the mission and the mode of Prithu Maharaj in our own lifestyle or in our own undertakings. So today's text is text 24. Mahat Gunam Atmani Katum Issaha Kaha Tawaka Tawayate Satu Pi Te Shabhavishyan Iti Vipalabdu Janavahasam Kumati Na Beda Mahaguna Mahaguna Natmani Katuami Saha Kaha Sawake Sawayati Satopi Tesha Bhavishyani Ti Vipalabdho Jana Vahasam Kumati Naveda. Someone chant. Thank you. passages? Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. How could an intelligent man, competent enough to possess such exalted qualities, allow his followers to praise him if he did not actually have them? Praising a man by saying that if he were educated, he might have become a great scholar or great personality is nothing but a process of cheating. A foolish person who agrees to accept such praise does not know that such words simply insult him. Please responsibly repeat. How could an intelligent man, competent enough to possess such exalted qualities, allow his followers to praise him if he did not actually have them? Praising a man by saying that if he were educated, he might have become a great scholar or a great personality is nothing but a process of cheating. A foolish person who agrees to such a foolish person who agrees to accept such praise does not know that such words simply insult him. Srila Prabhupada's purpose. Petra Maharaj was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Lord Brahma and other demigods had already testified when they had presented the king with many heavenly gifts, because he had just been coronated. However, he could not manifest his godly qualities in action. Therefore, he was not willing to accept the praise of the devotees. So-called incarnations of Godhead should therefore take lessons from the behavior of King Prithu. Demons without godly qualities should not accept false praise from their followers. So here, in this very text, We see in the exalted position of King Prithu. This reminds me of the situation with Madhavendra Puri. When Madhavendra Puri, a very exalted devotee of the Lord, was fished out by the pujari and was administered with sweet rice that the Lord personally stole to be given to his devotee. After eating this sweet rice, he was completely submerged in prema tura bhakta. He was in submerged in prema tura bhakta. He was completely obsessed with love of Godhead. That is when people think that the pure devotee is mad. He's behaving in a very mad way. That is as a result of an exalted, intoxicating prema, technically called prematura bhakti. So, Madhavendra Puri was exhibiting those symptoms. But when he actually again gained consciousness, in fact it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that even the pot of the sweet rice, he broke it and was eating it. We can only eat from the pot. If we meet such great exalted devotees and say, Madhavendra Puri also ate from the sweet rice and he ate also the pot, we'll get trouble. They will take us to the hospital in the next couple of days or next couple of hours. But that was his position. And when he regained his consciousness, what did he do? The pujari fished him out. The pujari had a dream directed by the Lord. And he came to find out where this great devotee is to be able to give to him the sweet rice. What will the villagers do when they hear this? That the Lord stole a sweet rice for some devotee. What do you think the villagers are going to do? They will all troop out to come and worship him, praise him, take shelter of him. He knew this. Therefore, out of humility, after getting the mercy of the Lord, eating the sweet rice, out of humility, he didn't want to be praised. He didn't want people to know about his exalted position. He sneaked away from that village. He went away. This is the position of a devotee. A pure devotee knows within himself, I am a servant of the Lord. If even is intoxicated by love of Godhead, he never wants the public in general to know him. He never wants the people to come and praise him. This is genuine humility. So, the case of Prithu Maharaj is also something similar. Although he was imbued with all of these transcendental qualities, it is mentioned in previous verse in the purport that he was an empowered incarnation, such a village abbot. So imagine, if someone is an empowered incarnation, what is it that he cannot accomplish? He could do so many things ordinarily impossible to the ordinary king. But because he was a genuine and authentic devotee of the Lord, when the devotees were praising him about his qualities, he was thinking, well, I may have these qualities, but have not really done anything anyway. Why are you praising me? Please stop it. Because praises should be directed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the purport here, Papa mentions about pseudo-incarnations. Pseudo-incarnation means false incarnation, pretenders and cheats. Now, we talk about karmis cheating. But the greater cheating goes in the spiritual arena. The greatest cheating goes in the spiritual arena. People masquerading as spiritualists are cheating the general mass of people, exploiting them, expunging them of their wealth, channeling the wealth of the so-called followers into their own personal comfort. And indeed, some even overtly asserting that they are incarnations of Lord Krishna. In India here, there are so many incarnations of Lord Krishna now, right here, going on, masquerading themselves. But when we ask them, if you say you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna, you say you are an incarnation of Ram, could you please show your universal form? That is one of the factors that we have to push forward. If someone makes some claim that it's an incarnation, now, if we go into the details in the scriptures, we'll find that all of the Vishnu Tattvas, all of the incarnations of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, they have distinct markings on their souls. The flag is there, the conch is there. On the Krishna's soul, you will find fish. In Lord Chaitanya's feet, our soul, you find different markings. And indeed, all Vishnu Tattvas have specific graphic markings on your souls. Now, for someone to say he is a Vishnu incarnation, we want to verify, because it is a science. It's just like you cannot just go and claim anywhere that I'm a PhD. The cheating goes on the internet. Somebody writes a letter and says, oh, I am such and such, I'm Dr. such and such, I am the secretary of such and such central bank. You know, when someone died in such and such a place, his money is my father, and we try to transfer his money. This goes on, especially with pranks in Nigeria. But incidentally, that's the country that I come from, and the higher cheating goes on in that country. The people, they have brains, tough, high intelligent quotient, but it's misguided. They use it for cheating. And so if someone says, I remember someone, I don't know how they got different emails, but somehow they get the emails and then they start sending these mails across. And someone saying that he's a certain person, is of this central bank and this situation. So I just write one line. I say, yes, I want to transact the business with you. But which university did you get your PhD from? I just want that. I want to cross-check that university. Then I can continue the talk and then we'll go on with the business. There was no response, no further communication. So if someone says he is an incarnation of God, which is very easy to see, the tongue does two things. The tongue is responsible for masturbation, chewing the food, and also talking, two things, talking and eating. And the tongue is very soft. It's one of the softest organs of the body. Although it's the softest, but the tongue can make also so much trouble. You can use the tongue to create so much havoc. At the same time, the tongue could be used meaningfully by seva mukhi jivadu. Chanting, using the tongue to recite the holy names of the Lord, that would purify the tongue. But the tongue, although it's very soft, it could be mischievous. You could use this tongue to do several bad things, you could use it to do good things. Therefore, if someone says, he uses the tongue to say, I am Godhead, which is simply he wants to kill himself, or I am an incarnation, then we should be able to ask him humbly without any trouble, without any serious challenges, and humble, with the blade of grass in between our lips, we should ask, yes, that is very good. In fact, you are an incarnation. I'm trying to worship Lord Vishnu. I'm trying to worship Lord Krishna to the best of my ability. I would like to worship you. So far, you are an incarnation. But please, can we see your soul? Let's see the markings there. If it tallies with the descriptions in the Vedic literature. Forget about even the universal form. Because the universal form, if you raise that issue, they will say, oh, you Hare Krishnas. You're bookworms. You tend to know too much. You don't accept some incarnations of Vishnu. And no, we want to accept the incarnations, but we want to see the characteristic features that you are portraying as an incarnation, the physical characteristics. Forget about even the qualities, the physical characteristics we want to see. Therefore, devotees in our movement, we have been very much blessed by Prabhupada. Prabhupada expounding this philosophy, giving graphic information to us, and gives us that solid base and foundation to resist any type of spiritual cheating by so-called spiritual cheats. Therefore, if one is equipped properly with knowledge, if even it's not vegan, if even you don't realize, even it's just gyan, theoretical knowledge about on the Bhagavad Purana, on Bhagavad Gita, nobody is going to cheat you in the name of religion or in the name of spirituality. Now, you may feel very comfortable in the Hare Krishna temple because no one comes here to tell you that it's an incarnation. But if you're actually a preacher, I take for instance, if you have been going out to meet people out there, you meet several of these people who claim to be an incarnation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to confront someone under his jurisdiction who was claiming to be an incarnation of Vishnu. And this man actually has so much of powers, mystic powers, that he subjected even Bhaktivinoda and his whole family to different forms of ailment, ill health. To the point that his wife was agitating that go and release this man. He's the cause of all of our problems. But Bhaktivinoda, he was adamant. A devotee, one basic characteristic of a devotee is abhaya. He's fearless. Because he knows that Krishna Rake Marike, Mari Krishna Rake. If Krishna wants to protect, nobody can kill him. And if Krishna wants to kill him, nobody can actually protect him. Therefore, a devotee is bold and is fearless. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was adamant to the pleas of the wife and the agitations of the wife. He tolerated the type of ill health situation that his family members were passing through. Eventually, Krishna revealed to him, shave this yogi's head. His power is on his head. He's on his head. Shave his head. Shaved his head. Not long, the so-called God died. So-called incarnation died. In prison. So, if we position ourselves properly, with knowledge of the absolute truth, knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of devotional service, then we do not have any cause to fear. Now, King Prithu, or Prithu Maharaj, his activities are so much wonderfully explicated in the Bhagavatam. How he cares so much for his constituency. The Bhagavatam mentions that a leader, a king, has to treat all members of his constituency as part of his family. The way you treat your wife, your child, that is how you have to extend that compassion and that mercy to all members of your community if you are a king. And that's exactly what Prithu Maharaj did. In terms of provisions of social amenities, he was very expert. That even he leveled the whole land so that people can comfortably do their farming. You don't need to go and hire, get an oxen to come and till the ground. He did that for everybody. He leveled the whole land. Because in those days, farming was a prominent or the predominant occupation. And of course, that is what Krishna also prescribed in the Gita. Farming, protection of the cows. Nowadays, farming has been abandoned, and we are producing bolts and nuts, and nobody can eat bolts and nuts. We are producing chemicals, and nobody can eat chemicals. Chemicals are simply used for wars, to kill people. You can only kill people with chemicals. You can't really sustain your existence with chemicals. You can't sustain your existence with bolts and nuts. Therefore, we have to understand. Of course, recently, I heard the GBC has promulgated a law that all temples must embark on, or our communities, they must embark on some form of farming. They must invest in some form of farming. Because the world right now is not stable, and anything could happen at any time. Even the biggest economy is glided down. American economy is glided down. Therefore, the original instruction, the original process that Krishna has given to us in terms of survival is that we have to produce our own food. I just got some information that right now there's a bill before the U.S. The U.S. Senate, there's some big companies, they have teamed up and then they want to really see that organic farming, the natural farming that they don't use chemicals, is abolished in the U.S. Or it's already checked to a very great degree. You see the demoniac civilization where we are going. Now the foods that are produced by chemical methodologies, by chemical farming, we all know the poisons that are given to general mass of people. But this is where the modern day civilization, which is rooted in demonic tendencies, this is where we are going. All natural things, we want to remove them from our sight. And then we create all sort of artificial things based on chemicals so that, you know, people will die very fast. People are healthy, they're not happy. Even the doctors, they're not complaining. But the ordinary people, the demons, they want to make sure that, you know, people don't live long. So instead of eating natural food, eat poison food. And this, they want to pass it into a law. So this is not the situation we find in the Vedic literature, in the Vedic tradition, that a king has to take care of his community, his kingdom, the members of his domain. He should provide for their needs even before his own needs. That is the exact statement in the Bhagavatam. And this is exactly what Prithu Maharaj did during his time. And we don't lack such kings, such Rajarishis in the Vedic tradition. Another example, we find King Janaka. King Janaka even went to the point that he visited hell when he was going to the spiritual world. When he visited hell, he was astonished how people are suffering in hell. And he asked Yamaraj, take all of my pious credit and try to see how you can dish it out to these suffering living entities so that they will be released from this suffering situation. Now, the modern day leader is completely opposite. Now, the Rajarishis, they have a particular mindset, And the modern day leaders, they're completely opposite. Modern day leaders, it's after I and mine. No one really cares about what is required or what is the need of the community. Therefore, we find that people are very much unsatisfied with their leaders. There are always some sort of confrontations between the leaders and the led. Because according to Prabhupada, the people are blind, the general mass of people are blind, and they appoint another blind person to lead them. Therefore, what happens? They all fall into a ditch. So this is what is happening. Our society is meant to be able to create first-class brahmanas. Now, the brahmanas are even higher than the leaders, because the brahmanas are supposed to be the consultants to the administrative warriors. When we have Raja Rishis, he also has within his cabinet some highly qualified brahmanas whom he has to consult. And nowadays, the so-called advisors to the government are sudras. The president himself is a sudra, or at best is a merchant. In fact, it's a mixture of merchants and sudras. Why and how? Because they are just after enriching themselves. And self-enrichment is the prescribed position, or is the characteristic quality of characteristic features of someone who is imbued with merchantile mindset. Because the businessman, he has to make money, and therefore he even has to cheat. The sudra has to work so hard, but his concern is just to feed his belly. Therefore, we find that it is a modern society, they after their maintenance, and they after expunging people in general and exploiting their community, the members of their community. So we find that people are not satisfied. But the reverse is the case where we find people like Prithu Maharaj in his own kingdom. Take another great example of ideal leadership is in the case of Lord Ram himself. Lord Ram led his subjects so well that even the dogs in his kingdom, he will make sure that the dogs are perfectly satisfied. A typical example is that one day they were in cabinet meeting, and he told Lakshman, go to the gate and find out if any of the citizens is there and bring him to me. Lakshman went to the gate and he came back to meet Lord Ram and he said, nobody is there. So Lord Ram said, go again. Somebody is there. Go and bring him. So Lakshman went and he said, he came back, my lord, nobody is there. He said, go. There's someone there. He went again and he came back to report. No one is there, it's only some dog. A dog was bleeding on his head. That's the only person, that's the only living entity that is there. He said, bring him. He's part of this community. A dog is by the gate. You bring him. He's bleeding. Bring him. So they make some inquiries from this Mr. Dog. What is the problem? Mr. Dog said, you see this injury? A brahmana hit me on my head. He said, who is that brahmana? He mentioned his name. So Ram ordered, let him be brought before us. And keep in mind that Ram himself, he's the supreme personality of Godhead, but he had cabinet members. What does this mean to us? He is the supreme personality of Godhead. Does he need to consult any cabinet members? Does he need any consultancy services? Yes, he had cabinet members. Which simply implies that as far as leadership is concerned, as far as organizational leadership is concerned, we need people whom we have to consult so that a decision does not become a unilateral decision, a one-man decision, a one-man show. He knows even everything perfectly well, but he wants the participation of other members of the community. Therefore, he formed a cabinet. So when Mr. Dog came in, explained his situation, they called for the Brahmana. The Brahmana came in, why did you injure this dog? He explained his own part of the story. I was coming, the dog was on my way. I said, please, give me some chance. The dog was hesitant, he was being lazy, so I hit him on the head, so he could actually leave the road. And that's how he got injured. Anyway, to cut matter short, they found the Brahmana guilty, and they asked the Brahmana, Mr. Dog, what do you think is the best treatment, the best punishment for this gentleman? And you know what Mr. Dog said? Some of you know the story. So, he said, the best punishment for him is that he should be the president of such an ashram. To be a president of Jew temple, is that a punishment? Huh? I don't think that is a punishment. But from his own experience, he said, he was the president of, you know why I'm a dog? I was the president of such a temple, and the simple reactions of the residents of that very ashram, I got to share their simple reactions. And in this very bed, I am a dog. I got overwhelmed with the simple reactions. So we have to understand that the position of leadership comes with some challenges. It's not an easy job. Therefore, the devotees have to see how they are helping the leaders, not creating more troubles, not more problems for them. The leaders have to be caring and not simply exploit the general mass of people. The leader has to see that the needs of the citizens or the needs of the devotees are being met because people have sacrificed their lives to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, how much we are giving our time, our attention, our lives to the spiritual needs of these devotees, the more they will be able to sacrifice their lives in this system. Because our movement is based on love and trust. And therefore, the more we are treating the devotees with love and care, the more they are ready to die for this mission of Srila Prabhupada. The more they'll be willing to sacrifice all of their energy in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. We have young people who have sacrificed their whole secular pursuits. Young people who just graduate from the university and they move into the temple. They want to sacrifice the whole of their lives for serving Prabhupada's mission. Therefore, we have to be careful how we are dealing with these devotees, how we are maintaining them properly, how we are even providing for their needs before ours. Because these same people are going to be the leaders of our movement tomorrow. We should take the example of Prithu Maharaj, who was sacrificing everything for the comfort of the members of his kingdom. Therefore, we may read all these stories, but if we don't imbibe the mood, we don't imbibe the mission of these great personalities that have been described in the Vedic literature and apply those principles. What principles we draw from the mood of this Raja Rishi, Prithu Maharaj. And if we are able to apply that very mood and mission in our own lives, that will be our own perfection in terms of our caring, thinking possibilities. Our mindset should be that of the great Radha Rishis, who we are very much affectionately disposed to their subjects. Because if the subjects see that the leader is very much compassionate, is very much mercifully disposed, is very much lovingly disposed to them, they will want to sacrifice everything. And that is the reason why in the Vedic period, in the Vedic age, women jump into the fire to die with their husbands. Because she knows that my husband never goes for another man, for another woman. Or his whole life is plugged into me. Therefore, if he's living, if he's dead, I should just also live. But nowadays the mindset is different. Even right in the matrimonial home, there is cheating that goes on. Therefore, you find that immediately the husband dies, the woman looks for another husband. Even sometimes you find, even right in her own movement, you find that someone is married and there's some little bit of fracas, and immediately he or she is making some arrangements with another proposed spouse. So before they broke off this marriage, he jumps on another one. This is not giving people the proper impression of the Vedic age. We may say, well, the Vedic period is far gone and it's past years and all this stuff. But the philosophy is not far gone. We can also still implement that. What is there in the philosophy is still presently there now. So, the implication of this purpose, or the import of this purpose, the morale we can draw from this purpose of Srila Prabhupada is very much multidisciplinary. First, Srila Prabhupada is warning us to be aware of false incarnation. Secondly, he had mentioned that we should take lessons from the behavior of pre-marriage. When someone is able to understand the principles underlying pre-marriage's mood and mission, then we can actually imbibe some culture from that. We can draw some lessons from that, and we'll be able to live with that lesson. And that lesson, basically, if we find in the historiography of pre-marriage, by his own personal life, is a life of caring and sharing with his subjects. A life of caring. He was treating his subjects just like he treats his own child. And he was making arrangements for their comfort. Therefore, those of us in leadership position, we have to understand that we have to be possibilitarian. We don't have to be, so to say, pessimistic. This is impossible. I'm the leader, but I have a wife. I have children. The way I treat my wife and children must definitely be different from the way I treat other devotees, because this is natural. And then, you know, we are human beings. But that is not sastric, because what is stated in the Bhagavatam is that it's completely opposite of that. The Bhagavatam says, if you are a real saintly leader, you have to treat the members of your community, your subjects, as your family members. In fact, we have to even provide the needs of our subjects before even our needs. It's like a mother. Do you think that a mother takes prasad before the child? I've seen mothers who are about to commit suicide just because the child is ill. The child is terribly ill and she's frightened. If this child dies, I must commit suicide. And even the parents, the father, the breadwinner, he comes back home. The first thing he asks is, Govinda, have you eaten today? He didn't ask, my wife, bring me food right now, bring me prasad. He asks the child, what are you eating today? And then he asks the wife, have you eaten? He doesn't care for himself, although he goes out, works for 8 hours to be able to bring money to fend for the family. But he doesn't care for himself. That is the mood of a saintly leader. That is the mood of the leaders we should find in our Krishna consciousness movement. Because this culture, what is inscribed, what is delineated in the Vedic literature, is meant for us to imbibe and live it. And others will see this and emulate this standard of living. This standard of authentic community development. This standard of genuine organizational leadership that is rooted in God consciousness and that is purely based on caring for the citizens more than even we care for ourselves. That is the sum and substance of the deliberations, the mission, and the mood of pre-marriage. Hare Krishna. Maybe there are some questions or some comments on this point. Are there some questions, some comments, or some challenges? So thank you very much. I think it's a very simple discussion, and there are no doubts. So we are hoping that all of you, your young devotees, in the next 20 years, we will all leave this body. In the next 30 years, we will all quit this world. The movement will be remaining for you. So be staunch in your sadhana, be staunch in your interpersonal relationship, in your loving affection towards other devotees. Because no one can make it in devotional service if it does not have a loving disposition towards the Vaishnavas. So love is a prerequisite factor for our spiritual perfection. If even you chant 96 rounds every day and you go on being offensive to all the devotees, you run into problems. So we have to see how we are taking care of each other, and that is exemplary of the life of Prithu Maharaj. Alright. Thank you very much. All glory. Sisi Radha Rasa Bihari Ki Jai. Sisi Goranitai Ki Jai. Sisi Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. All glory to the Samadhi devotees.